organizer for inviting me to come this exciting workshop. This is a joint work with Helen and Guangqing at Purdue University. So today I will talk about partial linear models. So we want to handle both structure selection as well as model estimation. The computer doesn't. Oh, okay, good. So first, I will give outline of the talk, and I will give you some motivation of the work. So in partial linear model, this is a very common use model in practice, and it's more general than linear model because not only we have linear terms, sometimes we have some nonlinear term as well. And the commonly used in practice is we know the structure and then we do estimation. So here we want to handle the issue both structure estimation as well as model estimation. So I will talk about our regularization method to handle the problem and as well as the computational theoretical issue involved. Okay, so we have seen a lot in this general framework of regression. So we have response y, and the regression function here is f of x, which could be, in the simple linear case, that's just a linear function, and additive model is a common extension of linear to nonlinear function, but it's additive fashion on each variable. So partial linear model is sort of in between. We have some variables linear effects, some variables are nonlinear effect in the additive fashion. It's very flexible and also has better interpretation than nonlinear model in general if we know some of the variables are truly linear. So this is commonly used in longitudinal data as well. Typically, there's only one nonlinear effect involved, which is the time t. So here we have the typical linear function here involved with all the covariates, and then a nonlinear term involved time. So this a lot of work has been done on this particular setting using various smoothing or spline technique. So what we are interested in here is try to handle the issue of both structure as well as the estimation. So for partial linear model, one obvious thing we really need is to decide which covariates we treat as linear and which covariates we treat as nonlinear. That's the first thing we really need before we estimate the model. So common practical use in practice, they try to do these two things separately. So we first determine the structure, then do the estimation. So in practice, people typically do a good guess of the model structure, or maybe some prior knowledge of the structure, and then use that structure to do estimation. So essentially, before estimating the model, we need to know which one is we treat as linear, which one we treat as nonlinear to begin with. But obviously, that's not always practical, or maybe it may not be as accurate as well. So that's the main goal of our work, is we want to handle the two things together. So again, as I mentioned, we may have, in practice, this is a commonly done procedure, is either you assume it's known, or do some ad hoc procedure to decide which one we use as linear or nonlinear. So what I mentioned for longitudinal data that's used a lot, in that particular case, we only allow one nonlinear effect, for example, on time. Okay, so here we want to do more general than that. And our goal is to try to incorporate multiple nonlinear effects, and we want the procedure to automatically decide which variables, the effect, corresponding effects are linear and which ones are nonlinear. So once we have the structure decided, we want to do the estimation at the same time, which we can use for estimation and prediction as well. So our goal is to do these two things, structure estimation and the model, structure selection and the model estimation at the same time, okay? So that's the main motivation, the goal for our work. So before I begin talking about the method, just give you an example to illustrate the point. So this is a very well-known ozone example, try to estimate the ozone concentration using meteorological quantities. So in this case, 8 of them are used to determine the corresponding ozone concentration. Okay, so, well, it's typically hard to decide which one is linear, which one is nonlinear. And in this case, if we apply our procedure, we can do a more interpretable model. So in this case, these three are linear, and this one is linear, the others are nonlinear. So this gives a very clean selection as well as estimation at the same time. So I hope I convince you there's a need to do these two things at the same time. So next I will show you how do we do it. So our basic framework is we still consider in an additive fashion. So for covariate Xj, we use Fj to denote the corresponding function. We want to decompose the Fj into constant term, linear term, and nonlinear term. Okay? So we put these two things together. We call it Fjl, denote the linear part. And then the other part, we call it nonlinear part. Okay? So then the key is how do we do it to make it identifiable? Well, so suppose, I will talk about that in a minute, but suppose we can decompose that, then if this term is zero, then we have a linear effect. Now if beta j is zero, this is non-zero, then we have a nonlinear effect. If they are all zero, we have a noise covariate, okay? So by having this decomposition, it will help us to get more detailed selection in terms of structure for each covariate, and then hopefully in the end, we want to use the method to automatically determine whether we want to use this part or that part or both or maybe none. Okay. So this gave a further illustration of our point. Suppose we have d covariates, and our goal is to divide this d covariate, the corresponding set I, into three sets. So we want a set of linear covariates, so that's the part we want to fit as linear effect in partial linear model. We want the set of nonlinear effects. That's the part of we want maybe purely nonlinear or both linear and nonlinear. And then the other set is the noise variable. Okay, that's the part of covariate we should get rid of. So the nonlinear we can further decompose into, we call it a pure nonlinear and linear nonlinear. So pure nonlinear is the corresponding variable that have the linear part to be zero and the pure nonlinear part is non-zero, then linear nonlinear we have both terms. Then linear obviously we have this term out, and if both are out, we have that corresponding variable is noise. Okay? So we want to use the method to automatically determine which we want to use for each covariate. So as a result, we have the model structure selection. And then we want to do estimation as well at the same time. Okay, so once we have this decomposition, we can write the corresponding f of x into this form. So this is the constant term, that's a linear term, pure nonlinear term, linear nonlinear, we have both linear and pure nonlinear term together for the corresponding effect that the covariate, and the last term is the zero part. Obviously, it won't show up in our final model. And the goals for us here, we have two important goals. One is to determine these three index subsets. That is, we want to determine which one we want to put as the linear set, which one nonlinear set, and the remaining as noise. And the other goal is to estimating all these function components to determine the function form, which we can use for prediction and interpretation as well. Okay, now I want to talk about how do we do the decomposition. So we consider the function in the reproducing kernel Hilbert space. So each fj we consider belongs to function class of hj, which is RKHS. RKHS is a very rich function space. We can use different kernels to determine the corresponding function class. And we want to use RKHS theory to formalize the regularization problem. And for example, if we consider second order similar space, Hilbert space, that's the corresponding function, and we can have the corresponding square norm defined this way. Okay, so in order to have a sensible decomposition, so obviously we need an identifiability issue to be clear in this case, in order to have a sensible decomposition. So our main idea is to do orthogonal function decomposition. So for the corresponding function space, for the jth covariate, we want to decompose orthogonal three parts. The first part is the constant space, which corresponds to the constant term. And then the second part is the linear function space. So you can view this span as RKHS space using the corresponding linear kernel this way. And then the second one is the more critical and the tricky part for the nonlinear one. So we define this one to be the pure nonlinear space so that it satisfies these conditions. So we want the first order and second order, the integration to be zero, and then this will ensure that this space is pure nonlinear because it is orthogonal to the linear space. Okay? So we can show that this space is RKHS with corresponding kernel as well. So with this decomposition, we have orthogonality among these three parts, so we can separate the effects of the structure for each function. So what I mentioned earlier is the function for each covariate, then we can also easily write out the final function f as tensor product of individual function space. So we have d of them, so that's the tensor sum of all of them. And we have individual constant one, the sum of the linear ones, sum of the nonlinear effects. So once we have this decomposition, we can write out f of x into this term. Okay, so we have d covariates, we have the sum of all of them. Now, the key thing is that for each covariate, we have both linear here and nonlinear term here as well. So hopefully, we want to use the regularization technique to determine which one we want to keep, which one we want to remove. Okay? So just note that this nonlinear term belongs to the space I mentioned, H1, that's a pure nonlinear space, which can be viewed as a projection through P of the original F into that space. So this can be think about the projection operator from the big space to the smaller nonlinear space. Okay? Okay, so with this decomposition, now we can write the regularization problem. So again, for each covariate, we have both terms in this expression. Now we want to use regularization, try to see whether we want to keep this linear or keep this nonlinear or both or remove both. So that will give us the goal of structure selection. So this is the regularization problem. So we are all familiar with by now. So this is the least square error term. We want to try to see whether the function has a good fit or not. And then this is the new part. We want to handle the structure selection. So we have, because we have both linear and nonlinear, we need the regularization for both. So this is the weighted L1 penalty for linear part and weighted causal penalty for the nonlinear part. You can think about as the one norm for the nonlinear estimation selection. Okay, so it's a generalization from one norm from the linear space to nonlinear space. We want to use weight for both so that we can use the data information to do a better selection. Okay, so the idea is for each part already exists in the literature. So for the linear part, it's essentially the idea of a weighted L1, which used in adaptive lasso. And for the nonlinear part, is using weight idea for causal penalty, it's the adaptive causal idea. So for each part, we use individual idea, and then we want to do the selection together to give us the final model structure, whether it's linear, nonlinear, or both, or whether we want to remove any of the useless covariates. Okay, so with the framework and the setup, now we can write out what's the corresponding implementation. While using the representer theorem, we can conclude that the solution should be in this form. So in the end, we want to determine the coefficient for the linear part. We want to estimate the nonlinear part. Well, that's a nonlinear function. Essentially, in infinite dimensional space, we want to use finite representation using the reproducing kernel. And because it's one norm, we can use a similar trick used in original causal paper. So we have another parameter theta. So we have C and theta involved for that corresponding nonlinear part. So this theta, you can view as sort of a variable attached with each variable, a parameter attached to each variable. So if this theta j is 0, then the corresponding nonlinear part for that function is that variable is out. Then we have beta. If that's 0, the corresponding linear for covariate at j is out. So this beta and the theta will give us selection. If both are 0, then we have that covariate is out. Okay. So essentially, we need to do minimization for three parts of parameters. So beta is the linear part. C and theta are the corresponding nonlinear parts. We can do this iteratively to solve the corresponding optimization problem. Okay, so we can do this in two steps. One is we want to do this iteratively, and in each iteration step, we want to solve these parameters in an alternative fashion. So when we want for the C step, we want to fix theta and the beta. We can solve the corresponding C. This is a typical quadratic programming problem, a typical problem for the nonlinear estimation part. Well, if we have this C solved, we can use that to be fixed and solve theta and the beta as this optimization problem, essentially the quadratic programming problem. Okay, so we can do this iteratively until it converges. Okay, what about the weight selection? Well, so this weight, we want to use the data to tell us some information. Essentially, the main idea is if I roughly know which variables are likely to be important, and then I want to use smaller shrinkage for that. If I know it's likely to be noise, I want to penalize a bit more. Well, one obvious choice of the initial solution is we want to do the fit without any selection, and we use that corresponding fit to give us a reasonable guess of the function, the corresponding parameter values. So in this case, we use smoothing spline ANOVA fit f tilde, and then decompose this function into linear and nonlinear parts. Use that to give us the selection weight. So essentially, for the linear part, we use the corresponding solution with the power negative gamma 0, and then the nonlinear part, we use the one norm of negative gamma 1 to be the corresponding weight. Okay, so this gave us good choice of weights, and we can do this adaptive estimation selection. Okay, so that's the method. Next, I will talk briefly about the theoretical issue. So we have two important goals. One is the structure selection. The other is the estimation. So I want to talk about the both. So in terms of structure part, we have the three index sets, the linear, nonlinear, and zero. And we've shown that under certain regularity conditions, we can show this procedure identify the correct model asymptotically, and also in terms of estimation, we establish the convergence rate of our estimator. Okay, so the first theorem just shows that under these conditions of tuning parameter as well as the weight parameters, we can show the corresponding convergence rate. Well, when this is a constant for the corresponding true function, we can have a rate of the root and the rate. When it's non-constant, we only so far achieved the two-fifths rate. Ideally, we hope the linear part we can get half and nonlinear part get two-fifths. But in this case, we couldn't because we want to achieve two goals. So we achieved the two-fifths for the rate for both linear and nonlinear at this stage. In terms of structure selection, we have shown that we can identify the true sets, the corresponding three sets, with probability tending to 1. So that tells us we are doing the right job in terms of structure selection as well. Okay, so another comment I want to mention that this theoretical result gave us some indication how to choose the weight parameter for the corresponding weight selection of the penalty, and also it has some restriction on the tuning parameter part in order to have the theoretical result hold. So what we did is, in practice, we fixed the corresponding parameter for the weight part, and then the tuning parameter, we choose it using great search of pair of these two pairs. Okay, so next I want to show you some simulation example to demonstrate the performance of our procedure. So we consider a few functions. This first one obviously is a linear function. The next three, these are nonlinear functions, but in fact they are pure nonlinear functions. And the last one is we both have linear and nonlinear there. Okay. So the first example, we consider a simple setting of one linear effect, one pure nonlinear effect, one linear nonlinear effect, and the remaining are noise variables. So we want to compare, we actually compared more in the paper, but here I want to just show you the comparison with SS and NOVA for the corresponding results. Okay, so as you can see, this is the SS NOVA result, the test error, and our new method. So we achieve better accuracy in terms of the function estimation. And this is the selection result. This first row are the truths. We have one linear effect, one nonlinear, one linear nonlinear, and the other are noise. So when we increase the noise level, things are getting worse, but overall the selection is quite reasonable. Okay. So we also look at various settings of dimensions and noise level. So the stories are very similar. That is, by doing this structure selection, we can do better in terms of estimation accuracy, as well as give us more interpretable model. We also look at a more complicated example than the first one, that is we have more linear effects, three of them, and two pure nonlinear and two linear nonlinear, and the various dimensions as well. And the story also quite similar. That is, by doing the new method, we can get better accuracy as well as good selection. Okay. So in this case, we have dimension 20, that is corresponding 13 noise variables. So in this case, we got 12.4 for the most strongest signal case, and it's starting getting worse and worse. But overall, the performance is quite good. So this is just a plot to illustrate by doing the selection, we can get better fit. And the truth is this black curve. The blue is the SS NOVA, and the red is our corresponding fit. For example, this case is a noise variable. SS NOVA gave this fit close to linear, but it's not a linear function, and we achieve to be, we get it correct to be linear, to be zero. Okay, so this is the Ozone example I showed earlier. So for practical problems, we do not have to struggle with some good guess, which one we treat as linear, which one we treat as nonlinear before the fit. Now we can do two things together at the same time, which gave us a more interpretable fit. Okay, so let me summarize so we all can have lunch. So in this work, we develop a new regularization method. We want to do two things. That is, we want to separate the linear effects from nonlinear effects, as well as to do the estimation, which can give us two things together for partial linear models. We also developed some nice theoretical properties for our procedure. And one thing about the procedure is because there are two parts in the regularization, the linear and nonlinear, so we have two tuning parameters involved. So we need to improve have a better tuning procedure to improve the estimation computation efficiency. And also, it would be nice to further improve the theoretical rate, because so far we only achieved the 250 in general for both parts, but ideally we want the optimal rate for linear as well. May not be possible, but that would be better to improve that further. So that's what I want to say today. Thank you.